Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday. I'm looking at the calendar, March 26, 2019, you know, with spring break being last week
yeah.
and Esther being home every day and trying to do some daddy-daughter time and radio work and coordinating all these upcoming events between this week and next week and the following month. I think we have 6 or 7 different things going on.
I can believe it.
Pulling it all together, it's been kind of crazy, but I think I work most efficiently and at my best when there's a lot of things to juggle and focus on and determine and work through.
Well, that's fortunate because there are a lot of things to juggle.
Yeah, really.
So did Esther have a good spring break?
She did. I felt a little bad because we didn't travel anywhere like some of her friends or others, but we did different activities. One included, if you saw last week's Facebook posts, of going to the Clinton Tower.
We Oh, wait, no. You that does not count as a spring break activity.
She was digging around in the soil and liked picking up stuff, and she enjoyed it. She loved having an axe in her hand. I said, Esther, be careful with that axe. He goes, no, I'll be careful. And like I said, okay, how about you pick up that stuff over there? Why don't you leave the axe here? No, I like carrying the axe with me. So.
Well, I'm glad she did. My. So the other kids come back. They went to Disney World, whatever. What'd you do, Esther? I went to the Clinton Tower.
Yeah, I had an axe in my hand.
That's good, though. Yeah, so. That's great.
Yeah,
that's
a lot
great. I'm glad she enjoyed it. It's good, you know, to get outdoors. And
yeah, she did that. And then we were doing some burning at the country home, and she liked doing, you know, a kid with a stick and a fire. I mean, does it get much better than that? She was a lot better. Yeah, she
no, actually, it does. It's fun.
Yeah, well, Holly loves that. Burning the leaves, and we took some of the stuff that we got, the brush from the Clinton Tower, and burning that, and Holly loves that. She said, oh, this is great.
That's funny.
I did post. I said, thank you, God, for my wife that loves to do this kind of thing,
because
she does like to work in the soil.
That's good.
And that's kind of funny, because with her being Chinese, she never grew up, like, raking leaves or working in the yard or anything. And so she loves gardening and all the things that she can use her hand or in the soil or burning fires. You know, she loves that.
Put a hot dog or marshmallow on the end of that stick, stick it in that fire.
There's dinner.
Have dinner.
A lot coming up, but it's Tuesday, so we're going to read one. I'll just say one story. If we get the two,
better that
we'll
do that.
I know last week I said, these will be the two that we'll be reading, and never got there. But let me highlight a couple things that are coming up this weekend. In fact, at the I Hotel, the Children's Choir is going to be singing. That's for the Youth Literature Festival. You've been hearing about that for a couple months now, but we're excited to work with the University of Illinois and collaborate and have our Children's Choir singing to all the children and the adults and the people that will be attending there.
I think it's kind of an honor.
Yeah, I think that's a really unique work that I believe God's a part of.
And I do too.
Allowing our children to sing some God-honoring songs and minister to the children and folks and educators alike. That'll be happening at the I Hotel. And you can find out more at our website, greatnewsradio.org. Just scroll down past the D.C. trip and then past the Memorization Monday Challenge, and then you'll see a listing. I think I have 7 or 8 upcoming events. In fact, the D.C. trip, we're nearing half full already.
Really?
In fact, next week, Wednesday, April 10th, I guess that's a week and a day away, we're going to have an informational night for those interested in going and learning more.
Here at the station?
Here at the Great News Radio Center. But I think we'll be nearly over half full already.
Wow.
The trip's not until October.
Wow.
And so excited. Yeah, my brother Stu and Trista, my sister-in-law, my Sil, we call her. Holly always calls Stu Bill, B-I-L, brother-in-law.
Yeah.
And then I call Trista Sil, sister-in-law. Anyway, they want to fly in and stay with us, and then we're going to go all together.
Are
so we're going to take Esther out of school and have her enjoy that trip to Washington, D.C.
That's really nice.
So, we just prayed that all through and figured out, budget-wise, can we pull it off? And we thought it would be a great opportunity. We'll be going to the White House, the Lincoln Memorial, many museums, the Museum of the Bible, and then all the other experiences you can have on a six-day trip, five nights in hotels. So it'll be a fun getaway in October. So if you're interested at all, stop by our website. You can find out our proposed itinerary. You know, we're still working that all through. But it'll be happening October 6th through the 11th, six-day trip. We'll be leaving Champaign and then heading to Washington, D.C.
Now, are you taking buses?
Yeah, it'll be one deluxe motor coach. Happy trails, Dave and Chris Sender. But Chris is the hostess with the mostest.
Oh, wow.
She's the one that's been to Washington, D.C. on 31 prior trips. So she
31?
Knows all the, yeah, so she knows all the ins and outs.
She's probably met
when
the president.
When the traffic is. Yeah, yeah.
Hey, hi, Chris.
Few different presidents over the year.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, she knows all the ins and outs. Kind of like me on an Israel trip.
Right.
Well, I've never taken people to Washington, D.C., so we're hiring her to use her gifts, her and Dave, to kind of host and keep the groups together. And I'll have a different role, but she'll be coordinating. You know, these are the best places to go at this time of day.
Right.
This will maximize our time. These are all the restaurant options.
I was
Let's go
that.
Here. And then,
yeah, they've got that all scoped out. Where to stay, where to eat.
Yep. Yeah. So that'll be exciting. But, yeah, I think that trip will fill up pretty soon. Maybe after the Wednesday, April 10th meeting, we'll have a great handle on how many are going to be going. But we feel we'll fill a full bus load.
So what are the dates in October? Do you know yet?
Yeah, it's October 6th through the 11th.
6th through 11th.
And the theme is Our American Heritage.
Oh, that's
so
nice.
We're going to learn about our country and our heritage. And like I said, Chris from Happy Trails, Chris and Dave will help coordinate a lot of the arrangements and be along with us. And then
Happy Trails to you, Roy Rogers.
A bunch of people have already signed up. Anyways, and a lot of other things that we can talk about and share, but stop by our website, greatnewsradio.org, and you can learn more about the upcoming Huntley Brown concert. That's just April 7th, so that's not too many days away.
And we have the railroad situation.
Yeah, that's
what's
this,
it called?
The railroad
event.
Let me take my headphones off.
Oh, hello, everybody. This is Marianne.
Yeah.
Oh, he's back.
All right, I'm back in the saddle. That was quick. It's called the Model Trains at Lincoln Square, 2019 Model Train Show, Lincoln Square Village, 100 West High Street.
I keep forgetting that it's called Village.
Yeah. Well, and some
I keep
just
saying
call
Lincoln,
it Lincoln Square,
Square. Mall. Yeah.
Some say don't say mall anymore because it's really not a mall. It's
is it not
a,
politically correct to say
yeah,
mall?
Yeah, that's what they said. I think it's just Lincoln Square or Lincoln Square Village.
Okay.
But free admission this Saturday and Sunday, March 30th and the 31st. Saturday it's 10 to 6 p.m. Sunday it's 11 to 4 p.m. Brought to you by the Midwest Central Railroad Club, the Illinois Terminal Division of the National Model Railroad Association, and the Urbana Free Library. So that's also happening Saturday. And then also, it's the Disability Expo happening at Vineyard Church.
Yeah, so that's going to be pretty big, I think.
Yeah, this Saturday, if you have children, you can take them one to the next, and you'll have a full
have
day.
Have your whole day planned out for
you. Yeah, so. Oh, yeah, Huntley Brown coming to town soon. That'll be on April 7th, and Ivan Parker in a couple months, and we're going to have a CUFI event here, Christians United for Israel. It's happening in April also, along with that road trip that we'll be taking up to Oak Brook in May, where we'll be singing with three other men's choir, Let Freedom Sing. And that'll be, I'm still working out the arrangements of the motor coach, and there'll be one overnight. It'll be a Saturday with the overnight, and then Sunday we sing and have a concert, and then we return. But that'll be happening at the Christ Church of Oak Brook. And that's the church that I grew up in.
Yeah, you said that.
50, some.
How many?
Yeah,
50,
yeah,
how many?
Yeah, 55 years ago, from the time I was about 5 to
that'd
I was in
60,
the high school college group. Yeah, 59.
Oh,
I just
okay.
turned 59.
Did you?
So, yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay, that's right. You had your birthday.
Yep,
oh,
Sunday.
My goodness, everybody didn't know Mark's birthday
big
was Saturday.
59. So, yeah, big 6-0 will be next year. It'll be
it
like,
will.
Can I really be turning 60? But I've been already meeting Jim Lilly and Chester Financial, figuring out retirement.
Oh, you got real serious here all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Got to get things figured out.
But Holly figured out she needs another 10 years of work out of me,
does
at
she?
Least.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay,
so I'm working into my 70s, so I won't draw my Social Security till 70.
Okay, so there's this article in the paper this month. coming up called Birth Anniversary. I'm just giving this away, I guess. It's coming up in April. And Cindy Guthrie wrote it, and mm-hmm. she says that when, you know how when you turn one, you've actually already lived your first year?
Right, right, yeah.
So really, when you're turning 69, you've already lived your 69th year.
That's right. Oh, so, so when I turned 59 on 59, Sunday.
59,
so I was really turning 60.
Yeah.
Well, that's just pile on more age to me. You know, a couple of weeks ago, Harold Davis says my hair is all white or something.
Oh, I know. That wasn't correct. He got you, though, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. He got me good. Yeah. Oh, but a lot of exciting things. We appreciate your prayers. We appreciate your support, your involvement. We've had different people volunteering to help distribute the Prime Lifetimes papers.
Mm-hmm.
And we can
Thank
always
you.
Use more helpers to do that.
We sure could.
And, you know, some new men have joined the Singing Men of GNN. One of our conversational English students in Nancy Miller's class,
mm-hmm.
His name's Stephen. I can't think of his last name, but he joined us this last Monday, and he wants to sing for a few weeks. He was so encouraged by seeing the men sing at Lincoln Square a few weeks ago. He said, I want to join this group. He was baptized in China. He's a believer, and he just loved how the men interacted. And he said, I want to get to know you guys. So I think he's going to come to the next few rehearsals. Then he returns to China, and then he's going to come back and hopefully be here for a year or two and wants to be a part of the Singing Men. But
I hadn't heard that. That's great.
Yeah, we had other men join us too. So we're always recruiting new men to join us. And then those of you that maybe haven't heard, but D.J. Smith, our beloved, he was our current chaplain. He kind of replaced Little Duder in the role of chaplain. He'd lead off in prayer and then usually do a summary of the prayer requests and send that out in email. He went home to be with the Lord this last Wednesday.
Yeah, it was kind of unexpected, you said.
Yeah, he had a stroke, but, you know, a lot of people have strokes and recover, and it seemed like he was recovering, and then next thing you know, he's sleeping peacefully and resting. And I thought, well, that's good. You know, he'll recover and he'll be back with us soon.
Well, you said you heard heard before the word came.
Yeah, so anyways, our hearts go out to Carol and the Smith family. And he was actually delivering papers in the Arthur area.
Oh,
once in a while, after Singing Men, he'd take some Tootsie Pops down to Yoder's and then a bundle or two to some of the other locations we had in and around Arthur Arcola. So, you know, it's just one of those things that, you know, we face death, and I guess we face death every day, and the life that we get to enjoy and the privilege that God has given us to serve Him and His kingdom for another day is wonderful, but it's always hard when you lose a friend or somebody you know. So
that's an interesting thought. We face death every day. We face life and death every day,
right,
don't we?
Right, right.
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, last week I mentioned we were going to get to this, and I guess we had too many different announcements, but I do now know what Harmaton stands for, and so I have an idea of what this chapter will convey and share.
All right. This is
out of Memories of an African Son by Mary Ann Simpkins, and this is chapter 46.
All right. Chapter 46, Harmaton. The Harmaton blows into Ghana as a dry and dusty wind, coming down off the Sahara to the north. It flows from that vast desert all the way to the ocean in what sometimes feels non-stop during the months of January and February. For me, a dusty dryness did not feel like a particularly new thing after the dry season of Zimbabwe. However, there is something quite different about the Harmaton. People have asked me if I've been to the Sahara Desert, and I always reply that although my father traveled through parts of it, I did not. I did, however, taste it, feel it, and brush it off my skin. For the Harmaton carries the dust of the Sahara.
Hey, have you ever heard of the Sahara Forest? Who gave that illustration? Was that Pastor Jason's last Sunday service? Or was that on the radio? The joke goes, there's this guy who's really proud about how good of a lumberjack he is and so forth.
Oh, and he cut down everything and now this is Sahara.
Yeah. So this old guy gets in. The guy goes, what credentials do you have? I don't think I can hire you. You're no good. And he goes, no, I know how to cut a tree. And so he goes, okay, that big tree over there, let's see how you do it. Chop, 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 chop. And he chops it down. And he's like, wow, I would have never guessed that this old timer still had it in him. How did he do it? And he's like, so yeah, the punchline is basically, he goes, well, have you heard of the Sahara Forest? And he goes, no, just of the desert. Yeah, he said, yeah, because I cut those down.
Gosh, yeah.
Anyway, so, hey, somebody remind me where I heard that the other day. Okay, so back. So,
the dust of the Sahara. There are times when the storms of life come as a dry and dusty time, a dryness that just goes on, seemingly endless, a time when the songs don't sound the same, when the music has long disappeared, a time when dreams are shattered, lives changed, and roads redirected. These are the wrenching times, the times we come close to losing our lives, or even do. The times of agony, the times of wailing. The hardest thing to believe at those times is that God is with us, that there's something larger than our present. I see Hagar, the Egyptian, in the desert, desolate, thirsty, crying out to God for her son, Ishmael, for his thirst, for his life. The country she was traveling through as she tried to go home was brutal, a tormenting, arid landscape. It's startling she survived. I see Joseph, 13 long years in an Egyptian dungeon prison, waiting for hope, sold by his own brothers and forgotten, even by the fellow prisoner he helped. We are told God was with them both. Hagar's son's name meant God has hearkened. I think that is the hardest thing to believe in the desert, in the dry, dusty land as one cries for help, that God has hearkened. What God provided Hagar was a spring of water. And that is what we all need in those debilitating times, a spring of hope, of water, of life, of a future. Sometimes we can barely survive the storms. Other times, we are surprised at our own resilience and by the extraordinary mercies of both God and our fellow humans. The Bible says of Hagar that an angel came to her and, quote, God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water. So she went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. Genesis 21:17-20. And with that action, life went on. There are those who live their lives in the desert, entire peoples who have learned to live in the desert for thousands of years. They've made a life for themselves in some of the most difficult places on earth. And there are people around me now who have learned to survive even though things continue being very hard for them. The Harmattan did carry one nice thing with it. The temperatures in Accra fell at night. Still, I personally didn't like the taste of desert in my mouth, or that gritty feeling of sand in my eyes. I don't think most people do. It might serve us all well, then, to not judge anyone going through desert days, through their journey of hardship. Perhaps instead, we could try to be an oasis for them, an oasis in their desert. Perhaps we could have a hands-off policy in terms of judgment. It is the worst of all times to judge them. It is, instead, a time to remember Jesus' statement, do not judge, or you too will be judged. Matthew 7:1. And a hands-on policy to do all we can to help, to pray that God will hearken, to provide the spring of hope if we can, and if we can't, again, to cry out for them, as Hagar the Egyptian cried to God, that he will hearken. God, I pray that you will bless and help the people on this earth who are walking in a desert place, whether a physical desert or a spiritual one. I pray that you will hearken to their cry. You will provide the living water for them, and you'll show us all how to be an oasis in the desert for each other. A place to weather the hard times of life.
Hmm. Wow, I have so many different thoughts coming through my mind. Yeah. I think of Don England. I used to be in a small group with this individual. And he said something once that's always stuck with me. We have to be careful when we're evaluating somebody or judging them or looking at them, because we're only seeing one little sliver in the time of their life.
That's a good point.
I mean, maybe there was an outburst. And so we judge them for that outburst of anger or whatever it is, something they said. And that's only one little sliver, maybe, you know, 15 words, maybe 10 minutes of their life, when 90% maybe they were saints or whatever. And then how many times I look at myself, maybe you would look at yourself, you know, we've fallen short, but how many times we've served the Lord faithfully and we've done really right. And so we wouldn't want somebody to evaluate us for that one time or whatever it is. And I think also how when the Holy Spirit works in our heart and we have conviction, healthy conviction, and we change and we ask for forgiveness and we desire to be led by God, we're almost a new person. Like the person I was yesterday is different from the person I am today because I spend time with the Lord. And, you know, we have to just be very careful that we're not judging somebody for one action or one act or even maybe a pattern, because they could come to Christ the next day and be a different person. And so
that's really good.
You know, I always think about that. And then I love this portion. I see Joseph 13 years long in an Egyptian dungeon prison.
Yeah.
And, you know, we always think of Joseph and, you know, how he followed God and was so wonderfully used of him.
Yeah.
But how about those 12, 13 years?
And it's a long time.
Yeah. And how God used that to probably refine his character, and who knows how he was ministered to or how he surrendered to God or
perseverance,
how
anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But those were not easy years. And so kind of what you're summarizing, many times we can be that oasis for somebody that's going through a hard time, and how important that is.
In Joseph's case, I mean, the abandonment and rejection of his own family, his brothers, and this man he helped, and it'd just be hard.
Right.
My goodness.
Yeah, he could have really
made a different choice, but he didn't.
Yeah, and could have been not only vengeful, but bitter over the whole incident. And so,
for some reason, it makes me think of, you know, this scripture, Jesus said, I think it was Jesus that said, laugh with those who laugh, rejoice with those who rejoice, and cry with those who are crying. Because it's so easy when you're feeling great, why is that person so dry and dusty and down? Or when you're feeling really down and sad, well, why are they happy?
You know? It's
so important to understand where people are at.
Yeah. Amen. Memories of an African Son. This was chapter 46. You can purchase your copy here at the Great News Radio Center. So stop by, say hi, and pick up one of our event schedules. We have a lot going on over the next few weeks, next few months. We'd love you to participate, because we feel like all of our events and gatherings are God-honoring and hopefully pointing you towards the Creator who loves you and cares for you. So we'd love you to participate. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Marianne Simpkins with the ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night. We are one.